Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood and for your body that was given for us. Now, as we look at your holy scriptures, may we be honest with the text, but may we allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, Lord. God, that we align ourselves with you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you might want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go there for our scripture today. 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to start at verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. Paul's talking here to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about a problem that has arisen out of the abuse of the Lord's Supper. In fact, is the problem has gotten so bad that he says there in the text in verse 17, you do more harm than good. And what happened was the early church had developed a tradition, and it was in connection with the Lord's Supper. And what they would do is they would call it, and they called it the love feast. And they would all come together, and they would bring food and gather together as the church. And they would pool their food together, and everybody would sit down and have this common meal. And it was a beautiful picture of the unity of the body of Christ, of the church. So they would come together, and they would do it. It's kind of like when we do a church picnic or when we have a potluck. We all bring food together and we all just kind of have it together. It's really about the unity that we've been studying in the book of Philippians that Paul's been writing to us. It's that sense of commonness, of gathering together, of having sharing with each other and that oneness. And then after they had this meal, then they would come to this part of the Lord's Supper or communion time after this love feast. But at Corinth, instead of being one family and enjoying the picture of this unity and this oneness, they tend to divide up in separate groups and cliques and just hanging out with certain ones. And we're not sure, but very likely it was along social lines, because it seems here that the rich would kind of have their meal and neglect the poor, and they were on their own kind of a deal. And he says, not only that, but some of you at the meal, you come and you drink and you get drunk before you even come to the Lord's table. And he said, in that atmosphere, then you come and you try to celebrate what Jesus has done. He said, that's a mockery of the Lord's Supper. You're not a sense of unity. There's not a sense of oneness. It's this group and that group. It's not like Paul would say in Galatians where we're, there's neither male nor female, rich nor poor, slave nor free, remember? There's a oneness we have in Jesus Christ. And he said, you guys are exploiting that as if there isn't. It's the rich, it's the haves, it's the have-nots, it's the poor, they don't get anything or whatever. And then some of you are sitting around and you're getting drunk, and then you come to the Lord's table? And you think that honors God. And so he kind of gets after him there, and he does. And so then he has this way of correcting this abuse, and the text goes on at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what's he going to do? He said, well, I'm going to show you, you guys are abusing the Lord's Supper, and I want to take you back to the beginning. I want to remind you of when this first started and how this came about. And so first of all, if you're filling in your little blanks there on your page, The Lord's Supper, he says, first of all, it's rooted in history. It's rooted in history. He says, there was a certain man, the Lord Jesus. It wasn't just this. There was a certain man, the Lord Jesus. And it was on a certain night in history, the same night in which he was betrayed. So we know when it was. And it was a certain event that took place in which he takes real bread and he breaks it. And he takes real wine and he institutes a covenant. The bread doesn't become his physical body. The wine doesn't become his literal blood. Just like when Jesus says in the book of John that I am the door, he doesn't actually become a wooden door. It symbolizes what he's doing. And so the wine, the bread symbolize his body and his blood. And he says it was a true event. It was rooted in history. And from that time on, it was looking forward to an event of deliverance. Not just for a few, but for all mankind. A deliverance. It's looking to the cross and the resurrection. This is Thursday night, very late. We have the Lord's Supper. He goes off afterwards, across the Kidron Valley, up to the Garden of Gethsemane. You talked about it, some of you, in your Bible study today. Prays there, and then the betrayal. So now we're into Friday morning, maybe early, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever time. But in just a few hours, he's going to be dead. He's going to be hung on a cross. And so he says this here. You see, it's rooted in history, Paul says. And it was an event. It was a person. It actually happened. It's not just mythology. It's not just a story about someone. It actually physically took place. And he reminds them of that and the importance to know what Jesus has done. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is about God's gift. This is my body which is broken for you. He identifies himself here then with the sacrificial lamb. That's connected with the Passover. Remember how that was, and we've talked about that before, where they would take a lamb that had no blemish, and that they would take this, and you remember way back into the time when they got out of Egypt, and they would take the lamb, and they put the blood around the doorpost, and he's saying, guys, don't you get it? I am that lamb. You remember his cousin, John the Baptist, had said that at baptism, or when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, here comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said, that's me. This is my body. I'm giving it up for you. But I think we make a little bit of a mistake if we interpret the words, do this in remembrance of me, as only remembering his death. We do remember his death, but you also need to remember that out of death came life. It's kind of the picture there almost of a cocoon. It looks at the dead. And this butterfly that comes out, life. It's like planting corn or whatever, the kernel, and it dies. But out comes life. So we don't just remember the cross. We remember the resurrection. We remember life. But we also remember his teaching, what he taught us. We remember his purpose. In the scripture it says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Us. He says, no one took my life, I laid it down. He gave his life, the Bible says, a ransom for many. So when we come, we remember what he's done when he gives. You do this in remembrance of me. You remember the cross and what he paid and how he took your sins and my sins upon himself. We remember that. But that's not the end of the story. If from the death came life and purpose and meaning and direction and wholeness. So we remember that. Thirdly, the Lord's Supper celebrates a new covenant. That's what he says. Remember, the history of Israel was kind of revolved around a God initiating a covenant with them. He was their covenantal people in that relationship. And that he gave them, and they were to obey what he said. You know, that was kind of the covenant there. And now Jesus takes this cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant. It's a new relationship. It's not going to be built on just like it was then. It's built upon my body and my blood, my sacrifice for you. That's what it is. It's a new relationship for all of us who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior through His cross, through His death, burial, and resurrection. My daughter, Lisa, and her husband, Bobby, just bought a house recently. And I know, I appreciate all you praying, and thank you. They got the house, finally. I loved it when they lived with us. I really did, but it was, you know, let's go. So they got the house. But you know how it is when you get a house, man, you're signing paper after paper after paper, and they want this, and they want that, and want that, and that's all that kind of stuff. Or when you borrow money, or maybe when you take a job, you know, we're asked to sign a contract, a pledge that you're going to pay this, you're going to do this. Well, Paul reminds the readers here, he says, guys, you enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You enter into a new covenant that comes through Christ. And because of His death for you, His sacrifice, there are some obligations for you as well. That you've received Him as Savior and that you walk with Him. That He's number one priority, right? Fourth, there is in the observance of the Lord's Supper a proclamation. Christ said to them, every time they took communion, every time they participated, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And you know what's kind of neat? Because God gave the church, I should say, a new way of preaching the gospel that people can literally see. Well, what is that about? Well, that represents His body and His blood, you see. It's a physical way that we can help show them and they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But then Paul goes on in our text. I hope you still have your Bible open. Start at verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. What's he doing? This is Paul's effort here to apply what he's just said to those things we just talked about, the historical roots and all the things. He's making an application so that the church won't abuse the Lord's Supper. His main point here, and what I want to kind of zero in for just a moment, as we observe the Lord's Supper, is everyone that participates in this should stop and examine himself. But I'm afraid, and I hope it's not true, but I'm afraid a lot of times in a lot of churches, we stop and we examine the person next to us. Or across the aisle. Or a few pews away. He says, no, examine yourself. And he gives a warning here not to drink of the cup, and the text says, in an unworthy manner. You need to stop. Well, what does that mean, in an unworthy manner? Does that mean I got to be perfect? If I'm not perfect, you know, I can't participate? No, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean that if we can think of any way in which we don't measure up, then I can't participate? It doesn't mean that either. The Lord's Supper is a continual reminder that there is forgiveness for the sinner and strength for the weak and the weary. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? But the warning is not to come to it when we're insensitive to His presence. The warning is you don't just come flippantly into, oh, well, let's see what time it is. Okay, we'll get this thing over. He says, don't come. We don't come into the presence of God that way. We don't come judging and unloving to our fellow church members. We're unconcerned about Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf and we're just trying to zip through it. Or unconcerned about the sin in our own life. That's not the way we come. In fact, if we truly enter into the spirit of the supper, we will have a heightened sense of our own unworthiness, but of God's grace. Isn't that great? God's grace. So this morning, as you come, I want you to come. I talked about this in our class last week. Come with fresh eyes. You know, appreciating all that Jesus has done for you. Fresh love. Not just ho-hum, well, it's communion. Big deal. It is a big deal. It's Jesus' body and blood for you and for me. How dare we come to the Lord's table in just a casual manner? Because we meet the holy God, folks. No, none of us are perfect. That's why we thank Him for His grace. And so He says, my table is open. You see, communion's not really a ritual. It's a covenant. It's a new covenant. It's a fellowship. It's an involvement in the life of Christ and His body, the church. The church. And you and I are invited to participate. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, just thank Him. If you're dealing with some sin in your life and you're struggling, just ask Him for forgiveness today. Don't keep wrestling with that. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Oh, God. He so loves you. And then participate with great joy for His mercy and His forgiveness. If you're not a believer, man, He opens the door wide open for you today. So just trust me. Come to know me. I died for you. As we come, let each man examine himself. And then come with great thankfulness. Give thanks, we say, for all that God has done. What an awesome God we serve. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word to us today. God, may we come to this portion of our service with grateful hearts, maybe with broken hearts. Lord Jesus, I can't fathom the love you have for us. And it's nothing that we can earn. It's not that we can try harder. God, your love is unconditional. But you call us to you, to your Son, Lord, our Father. So Jesus, will you be honored here? And may each of us examine our own life as we come this day with great appreciation and great love. In Jesus' name.